Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
We're watching greatness. Every single night, he reaches a new level. You learn something new about him. He shows you why he deserved that All-Star Game nod a year ago, just six starts into his big league career. And now Jacob Mizorowski is coming for it all. Seven strong innings in the altitude at Coors Field, earns another win. These last seven starts have been out of a freaking video game. Brewers win 7-1 over the Rockies. We'll talk about the homers. Yeah, homers are cool. Right now, chicks dig the Miz because holy cow, 52 pitches above 100 miles an hour. A majority of those 52 were over 101 miles an hour. The cutter starts to take center stage today. Okay. Sure, he only had eight strikeouts. Three of them came in his final inning of work. He told his back-to-back manager of the year, sit down, I got this. Don't you dare come out of this dugout to get me. And he did it. He called his shot and he did it. I mean, tell somebody last August, last September, when we're debating and trying to figure out, man, how do you get Miz on this playoff roster? How do you get him right? He's walking too many guys. He's all over the place. He's emotional. To now having one of the best seven-start runs in the history of the game. Now, it's only seven starts. I understand. But some of the best numbers you will ever see. First of all, the season. A 1.50 ERA in 78 innings. This is not small sample anymore. An 0.81 whip. A 1.51 opponent average. 41 hits. 41 hits. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. He gave up four homers in his first five starts of the season, hasn't given up a homer in his last eight, including today at Coors Field. And let me just read you his last seven starts. This goes back to the start of May when we started this debate about whether or not he could be the pitcher of the month. The only problem was the other guy that he was racing didn't allow a run. His last seven starts, he is 6-0. He has allowed one earned run in 45 and a third innings. 65 strikeouts in those 45 and a third, and just nine walks, no homers, just two extra base hits in that time. Two extra base hits across 45 and a third innings. And against legit offenses here, he was no-hitting the Nationals when he had to get pulled for cramps in the sixth inning on May 1st. They're one of the best offenses in the game. The Yankees, need I say more. The Padres, I could listen to an argument. He came back out for the eighth inning, had 10 strikeouts, cramping struck again. At Chicago, six shutout. Home for St. Louis on Memorial Day, day game, set a record for the most 100-mile-an-hour pitches in a game. At Houston, Yordan Alvarez, Christian Walker, Jeremy Pena, psh, I don't care. Blow it by you. Seven shutty there. And today, against the Rockies in altitude, seven without allowing an earned run, just one run allowed on some defensive miscues from the Brewers. Yeah, he had three walks and a hit batter. He did not let the innings spiral today. What a start from Jacob Mizorowski to get the job done for the crew, to give them length when they needed it, given all that their bullpen has been through these last couple of days, and to stare at his manager and say, don't take me out. Don't take me out. Mike, we've seen it, right? I mean, what a cool night to watch Jacob Mizorowski grow up in front of our eyes. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Set the stage of what we're talking about here in the seventh inning. Brewers at this point have just blown it open, right? They've added a four-run top of the seventh inning. And then a three-run top of the seventh inning. So they're up 5-1. Miz has the ball, strikes out the first batter at the bottom of the seventh. Okay. Then he walks a batter, Kyle Karros. That was on a long battle, seven pitches. Then he allows a soft single up the middle to the nine-hitter, Brett Sullivan.
Men on the corners, one out, and a cushion. The Brewers are up by four at this point. It's not a big deal to, you know, hey, you did your job, man. It's mile high. No big deal. Go to the bullpen. No, he is shaking his head at the dugout, making eye contact with Pat Murphy. William Contreras is coming out. They are, you know, not shouting, but just sort of making body language with each other, saying, no, don't take, I got this. I got this. Getting ready for his fourth time through the order against the top of the order, and he got it. He only needed seven more pitches to strike out the next two batters. Cutter and a fastball. He hit 102 on his last couple of pitches of the game. That's awesome. That's what an ace does. Takes control of it. Knows when his limits are. And we've talked about this over and over with Miz, especially since that start in Boston, right? When he thought he was good, turns out he wasn't. Ran out of gas in that sixth inning. Then we learned, okay, what is it like to know when you're out of gas and know when you're out? He let them know he was out of gas in that start of Miami. It was all okay. Then he had the cramps pop up. Then he kept wanting to push. He kept wanting to get better. They make it a tweak to the hydration, to the game plan, pregame, and all this stuff. And when adrenaline flows through his body, he now knows how to harness it. He was firing adrenaline there. That was his mechanism to say, I need to snap it in. I need to get in the zone. I'm always fascinated with the mental space and the body's response to the zone. You know, sports psychologists and biomechanists have tried to solve how to tap into the zone. And it may sound cheesy and a little corny, maybe to somebody who hasn't ever been in the zone. But there is such a thing. When your adrenaline is just right, when you're, you know, your cortisol is kept down to a minimum, even though it's in a stressful situation, you're able to suppress that. You're able to heighten your focus. Everything feels easy. Miz hit the zone for those last two batters in this game. He, you know, as the kids would call it, the flow state, right? Where it just feels like everything is going like it's supposed to. If he is learning how to harness that and to know when he can go out and get a little bit more, when he can dig down and get a little bit more, he topped 101 in every single inning tonight. That is scary to the rest of the league. He is figuring it out, air quotes there. But it's a different level of figuring it out. It's, okay, I'm really, really good. How do I get to elite? How do I get to award worthy? And we are at that echelon now when we're talking about Jacob Mizorowski. Kudos to him. Kudos to Chris Hook. Kudos to Jim Henderson, to Juan Sandoval, to everybody in the Brewers organization on the pitching side and the development side, to see this long-limbed, skinny kid from a junior college in Missouri to now being a top five pitcher in baseball in 2026. It is not a debate. It is not a, well, what, no, he's a top five pitcher in baseball, and it's not five, and it's not four, and honestly, it's probably not three either. We have seen him duel head-to-head against Paul Skenes and beat him last year. Right? We have seen him now duel head-to-head with Aaron Judge and Judge calling it the best fastball he's ever seen. We have seen him go into the postseason, into the big bad Dodgers house, and keep them down. We need to understand we are watching greatness and hope it lasts as long as possible and be grateful that it's in a Brewer uniform. That is a bona fide one. That is an ace. That is a man that you carry through October. He says, get on my back, boys. I got it. And today we watched him grow up a little bit. What a start. What a start. Awesome stuff. And it's not even about, oh, he didn't strike out 16 batters. He'll do that one day. It was about the fact that he was crafty. We saw the changeup out of nowhere today. We saw the cutters. He knew he wasn't going to have sliders and curveballs today because of the altitude. So how does he adjust? Cutters and changeups, which is exactly what you're supposed to do at a place like Coors Field. That is maturity. That is trust in your coaching staff and in your catcher. I'm so fired up to watch Jacob Mizorowski because in theory, you can only hope, but in theory, it should only get better. And if this is where we're at, 13 starts into his season, a 1.50 ERA, a third of the way into the year if you include the postseason, sign me up for what's next. His next test will be the Phillies next weekend. Pretty good hitting team. Schwarber and Harper, Turner. I'm excited. Every time they put a hurdle in front of him, not only does he leap it with ease, I mean, he does it backwards with his eyes closed and juggling at the same time. He's playing a different video game right now. It's been so impressive to watch Miz level up with every single start. He is the headline, obviously, but what else happened in this game? 7-1. Let's dive deeper into the box score. Get to some texts, get to some chats. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory 7-1. A lot of texts, a lot of takes on this one. 855-616-1620. I'm Dominic Catronio, flying solo here late night on these West Coast games. We'll have Augie back during the Vegas series as well. Want to thank our friends at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical for Who's Hot, Who's Cold. I mean, the easiest Who's Hot call is Jacob Mizorowski. Also, Bryce Terang, two-homer game, third career for him. Who's cold? Anybody facing the Miz. Wisconsin homeowners, if you're thinking about a new cooling system, Cider makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes, and it's right from home. You can get short or long-term financing options, too. Call or visit Cider.com today. That's Seider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Thank them for their support here on the program. You know, when I look at this box score here real quick for the Brewers, Miz, the final line, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. It was unearned, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, a hit batter, and a wild pitch. He threw 98 pitches, 52 of them were over 100 miles an hour, and 62 were strikes. He wasn't whiffing the world today, right? Because the pitches move a little bit different. Now, grantedly, the Rockies, they were swinging early. They were trying to put the ball in play against him, and he used that to his advantage in the first 5 innings. It was the fewest pitches he's ever thrown in the first 5 innings of the game at just 60 through 5, and that's even with a longer 5th inning when he needed 20 pitches to get through that frame thanks to a couple of misplays from the Brewers. A few texts. Ben from Baraboo loved Miz refusing to come out in the 7th inning. This one from Alex in Oshkosh, 5 home runs tonight, first time since August 12th against Skeens. Good note there. Series win secured. This one from Doug, if they keep giving this much support to the Miz, obviously he will be unbeatable. And if they don't hold him back, he should win 20 and keep the home runs going. It makes a huge difference. I agree entirely. I mean, what a cool way to be 7-2, because it feels like the other note that I had uncovered tonight, Miz, and maybe this is an announcer jinx, I don't care. Miz has not blown a lead. When you give the Miz a lead, he keeps it. Like, point blank period. That's what aces do. Okay. And again, I'll point this out. I said this after his last start, but I'll say it again here today. Today was the 4th time Jacob Mizorowski has completed 7 innings this season. 4 times. Freddie did it twice last year. Twice. Sorry, scratch that. Once last year. This is an ace. This is what aces are supposed to do. Carry your team, bust you 7, in the words of Pat Murphy, whenever you do need it. This one from Aaron in Illinois. What a telling moment for the Miz. Looking back, almost happy it happened. Shows us he's capable of getting out of a big jam. Props to all the pitching tonight. Only 1 unearned run. Very happy with David Hamilton. I think he's shown he can play every day and be a contributor. Don't need to be an all-star at every position. Go get him, Tom. Appreciate it. From Aaron in Illinois. Now, I'll talk about Hamilton a little bit more in the next segment. But to give him some love here for a second, he's giving me Caleb Durbin vibes right now from last season. Very different styles of play, obviously. But you can sense, and I'm trying to pull up tabs here to compare, you know, one player to another. Now, I also got to give this, you know, a little bit of a disclaimer because of the fact that Caleb Durbin was truly a rookie and Hamilton has played a couple of seasons, parts of a couple of seasons in the show. But obviously, joining the Brewers organization, understanding what it takes to be successful, I'll talk about this more in depth in the next segment, but I feel like this comp is going to be accurate, and I'll explain on the other side of the break. But the other thing I like about this box score today, too, how about Jake Bowers? Come on. Reaches base all five plate appearances, batting fifth. Four walks, matching a career high. Second time he's done it this week. And a homer. He's now hitting .281 with an on-base percentage that's getting closer and closer to .400. He's at .376 and a .516 slug. He's nearly a .900 OPS guy. We say it every night. There's your nightly Jake Bowers is good comment. There's a good text in here as well. Unpopular opinion. This is not unpopular, I promise you, Mr. 920. Jake Bowers at bats are the highest appointment viewing in this lineup. I agree. More than Cheerio, more than Yelich, more than Terang. I doubted myself until I realized, until I shushed one of my kids during walk number three tonight. Yeah, he swung the bat three times tonight. He saw 21 pitches. He swung the bat three times. Two of them were foul balls, and one of them was a homer. You're right. He knows the strike zone, and when he makes contact, he's going to hit the ball hard. Man, it's so fun to watch Jake Bowers in the middle of this order. Good to see William. We were talking about William yesterday. He hits a homer today. He needed that. Only his fifth of the season. That's a good sign. And here's the biggest irony of all this. Brewers win 7-1. The offense was good, not great. Yes, five solo homers. We're never going to complain about that. They were 0-6 with runners in scoring position, and they still left 12 runners on base, and they had a pickoff. And they had an error, and they had a misplay in right field by Sal Frelick. They did not play a clean game by any stretch of the imagination. And the floor is so high that they're able to dominate a team that they're better than in the Colorado Rockies. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Great stuff from the crew. Get some more texts. Talk a little bit more about David Hamilton. Talk a little bit more about this offense right now because it's kind of in between. You see signs of life, and then you take a step back. What does it all mean right now for the crew as we stand, you know, with 100 games to go now, 99 games to go now? Today was game number 62. Brewers win 7-1 on your home of the Brewers, 620. WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory. Do a little buy or sell here. It's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. So let's talk about David Hamilton, because it's easy to lose track of David after all the talk about Miz, all the talk about Bowers and Contreras and Terang hitting two homers today. Hamilton went 4-for-5 with another homer today. Text here, is Hamilton for real? I want him to be a dangerous guy over on YouTube. Hamilton's showing us what he's going to be for us. What a gamer. Leave him in the nine spot if he's going to stay this hot. So what's going on with David Hamilton lately? Why is it working this way? What are the keys for him? So I pulled up Caleb Durbin's batting logs. Again, different scenarios given. Hamilton had already made his big league debut. He's been in the show for a couple of seasons. Durbin was making his big league debut last season. Now, granted, Durbin was 25 years old. Hamilton was a college pick too, so he's older. Hamilton is 29 years old. You know, he'll turn 29 in September. So keep that in mind. Older player, more sample size in the big leagues. But as a Brewer, when he woke up, you know, in the middle of May against that Dodgers series, right? He was in a little bit of a funk there leading into the Cardinals coming to town. On May 27th, through those games, he was only hitting .223 with a .570 OPS. All right, now, we don't care so much about slugging for a guy like David Hamilton, but OPS just kind of gives it all encompassing here. Are you hitting doubles? Because that still helps your slugging as well. All right, now, just for the fun of it, last season, Caleb Durbin, through May 27th, as a Brewer, granted, fewer games because he came up in the middle of April, but through May 27th, he was hitting, you guessed it, .200 with a .568 OPS, okay? Their OPS numbers are within 6 points of each other. Sorry, 2 points of each other. How about that? .570 for Hamilton, .568 for Durbin. And you know what Durbin did from then on? He found his groove. He was the best player for the Brewers in the playoffs, by the way, too. But from then on, Durbin, in his last 99 games, hit 276 with a 774 OPS and 29 extra base hits. He also cut down on his strikeouts, added more walks, even stole 14 bags. We know David Hamilton's going to steal bags. That's never been a question with him. But now, you go back since May 29th, since he bottomed out there, heading through the Cardinals series, starting with going back to Houston, going back to Texas, get the mind right. He is now 10 for his last 31. That's a 323 batting average with an OPS over 1,000. No, he's not going to carry 1,000 OPS for the next 100 games. But to see the walks going up, four walks, strikeouts staying flat at six, four stolen bases as well, three homers, you're not banking on homers from Hamilton, but if he's hitting the ball harder and if he's able to discern the strike zone, heck, of those six strikeouts, three of them came in the same game yesterday against Colorado, right? Adjusting to the altitude. This is a role player. And I think a few people on the text line and a few people in the chat understand it, right? You can't grade a role player like an all-star. If you are getting an above-league average batting average, if you are getting an above-league average on-base percentage, an elite carrying tool in his speed, and serviceable defense on the left side, being able to play third and short, serviceable. I'm not asking for a gold glove here, and he is getting better. I mean, he's even admitted to it. I need to make the routine plays. He has said that to the media. The errors he makes are not the difficult ones. He makes the difficult ones. He had a great defensive series against the Giants. And now being able to play every day is just giving me Caleb Durbin vibes. It really is. Give him the chance. Let him get settled in. Find his role. Find his niche. And carry that throughout the bottom of the order. He is so dynamic at the bottom of this order, too, because, yeah, he might have trouble with lefties. And then he could bring in somebody like Vaughn or Gary or whomever you choose as a right-handed bat. But what I see is that Hamilton, with that experience that we talked about with the Red Sox, he's a completely different player. Where the Red Sox told him, you should hit for power all the time. And it wasn't going great. He still has elite exit velocities, right? The Brewers said, why not both? You can bunt here. We love bunts. Put the ball in play. Your best tool is your speed. You should be using it as often as you can. So you take that power knowledge from the Red Sox with this emphasis on make contact. Do your thing. You'll run into a few. We know you will. And make it work. That's a heck of a role player. His role is to be serviceable on the left side and cause havoc. Whether it be hitting the ball over the fence, hitting doubles, stealing bags, drawing walks. Love what we're seeing from David Hamilton right now. I'm buying it. I'm buying a lot of stock because, again, I said at leaving spring training that David Hamilton had the most underrated spring training of anybody, where he was playing every day, partially due to Jet Williams getting injured during spring training. I really wonder, there's a sliding doors moment here of if Jet doesn't get injured in spring training. We know how Murph loves his short guys, right? If Jet doesn't get injured in spring training, does he make this club out of spring training? I wonder. We'll never know, but I just wonder that out loud. Such an important role for the crew. Things rolling for him. Let's talk Jake Bowers. A lot of people want to talk him. Also give you the update on the bullpen moves today. The Brewers did make a trade. They also called up another arm who pitched the ninth inning and Drew Rahm. Give you the breakdown on all that. We'll hear from Pat Murphy. We'll get to some highlights. Brewers win 7-1 over the Rockies. Late night with the Brewers. Pac-12 after dark, if you will. Brewers after dark right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win. How about it? Fun night. Fun night at Coors. Another one tomorrow, 2:10 first pitch. We're on the air at 1 o'clock Central Time. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up. Take you up to the on-deck show, Built by Menards, at 1:35. Let's get to our player of the game. Easiest pick, obviously. That is the one, the only, the Miz, Jacob Isarowski. Sorry, Bryce Terry. Normally when you hit two homers, you get that automatically. Sorry, Jake Bowers. When you get on base five times, you get that automatically. The Miz, 0-2-0. ERA. Player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like our MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock bottles. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. I want to get to a couple of questions here before we talk a little bit more about the rest of this lineup and the rest of the moves today. This was a good question, I thought, from the 262. Are we worried at all about Chirio's development as a hitter? In my opinion, if you look past the 2020 and the Oso Young qualifiers, he regressed last year, and the chase and whiff rates to start this season are still very ugly. I'm not expecting the Bobby Witt breakout, and obviously the talent he has holds him to a higher standard, but I thought we'd see more signs of growth. See, that's where I disagree with you. I think we have seen signs of growth. Now, missing a month of the season certainly didn't help it. It's a reminder that he is starting to get hot, and I had this for yesterday's game. We didn't get it into the telecast, but you look at it year by year, okay, his first month of the season. All right, 2024 is first month, first time in the big leagues. He hit 202 with an OPS that's barely just under 600. Okay, last year, the first month of the season, a 257 batting average with a 760 OPS. Okay, so getting better. You know, now he's more of a slightly above league average guy. This season, his first month coming into this series, it was 308 with an 878 OPS. His best slash line across the board, four homers, nine doubles, raised his walk rate, kept the strikeout rate at league average. Now, he's had a tough time these two games, so I'm going to push back on that. It's a fair critique given he's 0-for in the series. Everybody goes through slumps. I think last year, the timing of the injury with the hamstring was so brutal because remember, he was white hot in July, white hot. And then he came right back and was epic in Toronto, right? He was epic in the postseason. I'm not saying he stunted his development. I see him turning the wheels to try to get better, right? We talked about this in spring training with Chirio. He needs to be great by drawing more walks. He can still strike out. He can still be a weapon at the plate. But right now, he's learning what's the right amount of aggression. You know, if I get a pitch early in the count that I like, is it good enough for me to swing at? Or is this a pitcher's pitch and I got to lay off of it? 22 years old, okay? I know some people may hear that and be like, all right, okay, we get it, but he's been in the show for 3 years. Yeah, but yet, he's just seen less Major League Baseball than other players. Chirio is still a top 10 youngest player in baseball this year. Think about that for a second. It's his third year in the show. I'm pulling it up right now. He is still one of the youngest players overall, regardless of position in the game. And it's his third year. Baseball Reference, just shout out. Best website ever made. Just a reminder on all that stuff. All major leagues, let's go ahead to miscellaneous here. I'll find it in the break. But you get my point. I want to make sure I double down on that. The other stuff I wanted to talk about here. How about the bullpen? The way that the Brewers have shook things up. The latest on Brian Fitzpatrick. It's a UCL sprain, which is translation. There's a minor tear in there. Tommy John is on the table. We'll wait and see. So he goes on the IL. The Brewers add Drew Rom to the 40-man roster and thus to the active roster. Drew Rom was signed as a minor league invite, non-roster invitee, signed after not pitching in the big leagues the last couple of seasons due to shoulder issues. He had a great Tread Pro Day, Tread Athletics, like a drive line, if you will, you know, a pitching development lab in the offseason down in Georgia. Loved the tape that I saw from Drew Rom. I told you to remember the name in spring training. Now he had the ninth inning tonight. Fastball, sweeper, splitter. They also added Joel Kunal, former Brewer farmhand. He's been in the organization a couple of times, never made it up to the show. Look, with them DFAing Jake Woodford and now having to place Fitzpatrick on the IL, they're vulnerable right now. And again, not trying to, you know, be negative, but the truth is you needed another mop-up guy. With DL Hall going to be out for at least a month, probably longer, you need somebody that can handle some innings late. And if he pitches well, he gets more opportunities. And he's still got Jared Koenig on the way back. He's still on his rehab assignment right now. Maybe he comes back next homestand against the Phils. Wait and see on that regard. But the bullpen had a little blip this week. You get Shane Drouin going tomorrow. Chad Patrick's still available in the bullpen tomorrow. Still waiting on Abner Uribe's suspension. But you gave a day off for Ashby. You gave a day off for McGill. That was huge. Grant Anderson, he's fine. That was important for them too. I think the Brewers are in really good shape with their bullpen. Adding Drew Rom, having Yoho up. I just like what we're seeing right now. I really do. Offensively, though, this was a good question over here on the YouTube chat. What is the percentage of Jake Bauer's making the All-Star team? Zero. Sorry. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer. It's zero. Matt Olson's having an MVP caliber season. Okay. Atlanta is going to vote him in. And number two, the game's in Philly. Bryce Harper's getting into. They're not going to carry three or four first basemen. So it's a loaded position. But we'll all know, we'll remember the first of Jake Bauer's. Hey, you have something to say about that. If Brewers fans want to go stuff the ballot box and get Jake Bauer's in, be my guest. Everybody loves an underdog. That would be awesome. Some other things about this offense I wanted to point out, too, is that the Brewers win this game with 13 hits, the five solo homers, no other extra base hits. Thought that was sort of silly. I also see Andrew Vaughn in the lineup today. That was good. Goes 1-for-4. By the way, Chrome Dome, Andrew Vaughn, he took it down. Zero guard, baby. Welcome to the club, Andrew Vaughn. It's better over here. You get a lot more breeze, and you don't have to worry about what your hair looks like after. So welcome to the bald gang to Andrew Vaughn. But what I look at on this roster, as guys start to play better, I mean, is Yelly got a couple of hits today and a walk as well. He's still getting his timing back. Churio, like we said, he's 0-for-10 in the series. He'll be fine. Terang continues to rake. I mean, batting average is old-fashioned. Sometimes it gets the job done, though. Right now, 1-6 in the order, okay? Yelly, 282. Churio, 282. Terang, 282. Contreras, 283. Bowers, 281. Vaughn, 325. That's your 1-6. Frelick will get going. Hamilton is now 243. That's league average. And then Joey. Whatever you end up doing on the left side of the infield. So if Hamilton continues to show off what he's capable of, I've talked about it plenty about Renjifo. He might be on borrowed time. He might become the utility guy. Who knows? But the Brewers certainly have talent on their way on the farm, and we'll be continuing to keep an eye on them for the rest of the month of June. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. He's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Want to get the number right on Churio. He's now 11th. He's fallen out of the top 10. Born March 11th, 2004. So many young kids have come up this season. A lot of 2004s. We've got our first two 2005s now. Now that Colt Emerson is up. Didier Fuentes made his debut last year with the Braves. But currently the youngest player in Major League Baseball is the Pirates' Connor Griffin. He's the only 2006 birth year. Just turned 20. While he was in Milwaukee, mind you, back in April. So still, top 15 in his third year in the show. Pretty useful to have that under your belt. Brewers win 7-1 over the Rockies. I'm Dominic Catronio flying solo. Let's hear from the manager, though, Pat Murphy, after tonight.
Yeah, he said he wanted to stay. No, he just said, I want this. I want to stay. Middle of the order was up, and he wanted to finish what he started. He understood the ramifications of having to bring in leverage relievers. And, you know, he came up big. And he pitched there. He didn't just blow people away. He pitched. And I thought it was a really good sign. You know, he got that ball off the calf, and it's going to swell up. But, you know, he wanted to stay in there.
What does that say about his confidence but also your trust in him?
Yeah, I mean, when a pitcher wants to stay, you consider that heavily. And you know authentically if he's losing it and he's just not throwing the ball well, that's one thing. But if he knows he needs to lock in a little better. I'm still throwing the ball good. I mean, he hit 102 in the seventh, you know, so I felt like, you sure I'm not looking tired? Yeah. Or am I?
Was it a...
When you get older, you worry about that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Were you contemplating going to Eshby in that spot?
No. But it was great to hear that from him.
What does that kind of say about, I mean, the guy that overpowering who... from the outside looking in, people are like, wow, he's just dominating. But then to get into some trouble, to think about your guy's situation in the bullpen, all of that stuff, how much maturity do you see from this guy?
Yeah, that's been number one this year. The maturity has been tremendous. But you know, we got to take note of what this guy has done. You know, pitching isn't this easy in the big leagues. You know, I don't care If you're pitching against a major league team, to be as consistent as this guy has been over the last, I don't know how many outings, is remarkable. I don't know how many guys are doing that, but, you know, I know the guys that are the ones that are, you know, doing pretty well for themselves, you know.
Yeah, for him to do it in this ballpark.
Yeah, it's another factor, you know.
Lowest ERA over a 7-game stretch for any starter since Bob Gibson.
Since Bob Gibson. Check out if Miz knows who Bob Gibson is, okay?
What odds do you put on that?
No, well, he's from the Midwest like that. Should. Cardinals, he should know he should. Number 45, Bob Gibson.
He also threw a pitch, I think it was 103.7, and it was like the fastest by a starter in the Statcast era. Is that surprising to you?
No, it isn't. Miz has got great extension and great velocity, so that doesn't surprise me. But we got to get off that, you know, the harder the better and all that. He's got to throw the ball in the zone and throw his other pitches in the zone. Because as I say often, you don't get to hear it, but I say it often, you know, good hitters can time up anything, you know.
He hit Freeman in the helmet. That was kind of a scary moment. He seemed to be visibly upset by that. What does it show that he kind of...
Yeah, I mean, Miz is a great person. You know, he has empathy in a big way. But he knows he has a job to do, and he feels very badly. I'm sure he'll contact Freeman tonight. And hopefully, I really hope he's all right. I don't like any that to happen to anybody.
The moment after that, it was first pitch, yeah. ABS challenge. Did you... Because you made note of that as a big turning point.
You know, after the game, one of our elite baseball people mentioned to me that they thought that was the underrated key to the game when he came back with that challenge right after that. Because, you know, Miz could have been affected, and that changes the bat, and it was a great challenge by William.
To see him come through with a homer, too, after how the at-bats...
It was Mike Fasalo, if you want me to name names.
Oh, boy. Mike Fasalo, PR extraordinaire, getting the shout out there from Pat Murphy. Brewers win today 7-1. Let's relive it next with some highlights on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers rolling into Colorado, trying to keep the good times going here in June. They got off to a fast start. It was an opener today for the Rockies and Zach Agnos. The Miz getting the ball on the other side. Just give him a run and let him run.
And he hits into one here. Left center field, deep. McCarthy back, track, gone! Bryce Turang, his eighth of the season. And the Brewers on the board here at the top of the first. 1-0 Milwaukee.
Another homer for Bryce to center, left center. He's got his family in town, too, so you got to put on a show for your loved ones. So it's 1-0 Brewers. Miz had a 1-2-3 bottom of the first inning, no problem. And then in the top of the second inning with two outs, the Brewers do their best work there. And it's from the man we talked about earlier, David Hamilton.
Here's David Hamilton. And he gets into one to center. McCarthy back. Still back. Track. Wall. It is gone! David Hamilton's power surge continues. A solo home run for David Hamilton, his third home run of the season, and it is 2-0 Milwaukee.
How about it? The Brewers offense would go a little quiet from there in the middle innings as the Rockies started to transition to a few more arms. Miz was rolling. He only had one walk in his first four innings of work. Now, after five, an unearned run was scored against him on an E6 throwing error by Joey Ortiz and a misplay in right by Sal Frelick. No matter, he struck out the final batter of the frame. 20 pitches later, he still had the fewest pitches through five innings in his career at just 60. Things are really looking up for him, but he ran into some trouble in the sixth inning. An infield hit, a hit batter. That one was in the head on Tyler Freeman. The helmet did its job. He was pulled from the game. Seems like everything's all right. He got a pop out on Rumfield, but walked Hunter Goodman. The bases were loaded with only one out. His first real test in the last month or so. Troy Johnson would fly out to left, and Ezekiel Tovar staying aggressive.
The 0-1. Tovar ground ball to second base. Played by Turang. Throws to first in time, and the Miz escapes. Mile high, no problem for the Miz tonight.
He was rolling at this point. The Brewers wanted to give him some more run support. It's still only a 2-1 ball game at this point.
The 1-1. Drilled high and deep up into the night sky. Back into left. She goes. Goodbye. A blast. William Contreras into the seats to make it 3-1 Milwaukee in the seventh. Oh, that was a majestic home run for the Brewers. Catch.
Josh wasn't done with that call either, but they weren't done with that frame either. A walk the next batter in Bowers. He drew four on the night. Then Andrew Vaughn would pull a single through the left side. A double steal with Blake Perkins running for Vaughn. So runners on second and third. Infield comes in for Sal Freeland.
The 1-1. Chop towards first. Backhand and off the glove of Rumfield. It trickles into shallow right, and both runners come in to score. Freelick safe at first. And the Brewers have added three runs in the seventh inning. A 2-1 game becomes 5-1 Milwaukee.
And then the moment we open this show with, talking about Mizorowski forcing Pat Murphy to let him stay in this game. They're up 5-1. There are men on the corners with only one out. He struck out the top of the order in Jake McCarthy. Sterling Thompson off the bench was the last man Miz would face.
You know that Miz wants this oh so bad. He's got his sign from Contreras. The 1-2 pitch. Thompson takes strike three called. Fastball right in there, 103 miles an hour. What a finish with a flourish for Jacob Mizorowski.
How about it? Miz gets eight strikeouts, earns another win. The Brewers then put some icing on the cake with another couple of blasts from their key lefties in the middle of this order.
Fly ball, left field. Racing back is Johnston. Still back at the track, at the wall. Bye-bye baseball! That ball kept carrying out to left, and Terang's got a two-home run night here tonight at Coors Field. It is 6-1 Brewers.
It's his only one that wasn't against the Nationals, his third career multi-homer game. And how about Jake Bowers? He had drawn four consecutive walks at this point. Now let's exit stage
left. First pitch to Bowers. And Bowers into left, deep. Johnston's back at the track. Gone! Jake Bowers, number 11. And how about five homers tonight for the crew? 7-1 Milwaukee.
That would be your final score. Bowers leads the team in homers. He continues to rake, as the nickname implies. Seven runs on 13 hits for the crew, one error. They left 12. For the Rockies, one run on five hits, one error. They left nine. The winner, of course, is the Miz. The loser is Agnos. No save in this game for a three-hour contest from Coors Field. We say goodnight after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Final couple minutes of the program here. Thanks to everybody who listened live and participated in the text line and the chat line. We'll be back at it tomorrow. 2:10, first pitch. We're on the air at 1 with Brewers warm-up, getting ready to roll. As it'll be Shane Drouin taking the ball tomorrow. It's a southpaw duel. Shane Drouin for the crew. Kyle Freeland for the Rockies. The Brewers seen plenty of Freeland. He has been off to a brutal start this year. An 8.06 ERA. He's given up 67 hits in 48 innings. A 3.22 opponent average. That's not just pitching at altitude. He's a local kid. Denver native. Thomas Jefferson High School. Evansville. First rounder back in 2014. He's their second longest tenured Rocky right now. Of course, he wants to succeed, but the Brewers will try to get a sweep against the Rockies. Then it is on to Las Vegas to take on the A's as part of Big League Week that they host their prospective season ticket holders and all that stuff for all of them getting ready to move to Vegas. Other quick scores updates around the NL Central. Divisional matchup in St. Louis. Cardinals over the Reds, 6-5 in that one. Finally, for the first time since the first week of April, there is a team in the Central Division under 500, and that is the Cincinnati Reds. They are now 31-32. So they break the streak here on June 7th that everybody was above 500 for a little over almost 2 months entirely. Because remember, the Cubs were under 500 for a little while there, too. At the start of the year, the Brewers have not been under 500 this year. Otherwise, The Cubs walk off the Giants. Quite a day for PCA. He hit two game-tying homers, including in the bottom of the ninth against the Giants, and then Michael Busch walked it off in the bottom of the 10th, 3-2 over San Francisco. And then also Pittsburgh, they've got the tough assignment with the Atlanta Braves. They fall 6-3 in Atlanta. The Brewers will be there next weekend, or in 2 weekends, I should say, not this coming weekend, but they will be there for Father's Day weekend as well to note. So that's a quick look at your NL Central out-of-town scoreboard. Then we still got late-night games the rest of this week. It's all night games in Vegas since Thursday is an off day. So we'll be at 9:05 on Monday, 9:05 on Tuesday. Oh, and they gave us an hour, 8:05 on Wednesday. If you don't stay up late for all these shows, Brewers All Access, tell your friends, people, oh, I want to listen to something. Brewers All Access, that's the podcast feed. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, 620 WTMJ. You can look me up on social media. I've got my links there too. So we hope you enjoy all the content we deliver for you. All these are podcasted. All these are archived for you to listen at your leisure. So once again, tomorrow, it'll be Shane Drouin and Kyle Freeland. We're on the air at 1. First pitch is at 2:10 from Coors Field. And I highly recommend, if you want to look at the schedule next year once it comes out, if you're thinking about road cities to go to, Denver's very high on my list. I love the city of Denver. Really good ballpark. It's the best outdoor bar in America. There happens to be a baseball game happening downstairs. I think there's a lot of synergy, obviously, with the, you know, the vibes of the town, the beer history, of course, between Denver and Milwaukee. I think the tribes can certainly attract to each other. That is going to do it for our program tonight. I am ready to go to bed. I'll get my coffee on first thing in the morning. Our producer staying up late with us has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Good night, and keep on swinging.